Hey there. Welcome back to Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the podcast that makes your day a little bit brighter. I'm Sean.
And I'm Carrie.
Carrie is an internationally best-selling children's book author.
Sean used to be a cop, but now he's not.
And as usual, we're joined by our dog, Sparty. Sparty's a guy.
We'll be giving dog tips and writing tips, and we always start off with a random thought of the day, which most often happens in bed. So stay with us, and maybe you'll learn something.
Hopefully.
Maybe. But maybe not.
Random thought time.
So I wanted, right before we put on Random Thought Time, we were talking about when we were little kids and what made us happy. And you said that everything pretty much makes little kids happy. Or random stuff. Right?
I said it doesn't take very much at all to make a kid happy. And that one of the beautiful wonderments of childhood is your innocence and your lack of knowledge. It's like an infant being obsessed with his feet, because he doesn't know what they are. So they're brand new to him. That's why it doesn't take much to make kids happy. On the converse, it doesn't take much to make them sad either. Same reason, probably. I don't know. But that's probably younger than you were talking about anyways.
No, I was talking like a little, like, you know, 2 to 4.
Yeah.
Maybe. When your emotions are, like, always right underneath the surface. There's no real filters. If you hear snoring, that's Sparty. Sparty is snoring right now.
Because he's a dog and they're smarter than people.
Did you say snorier than people?
No, I said he's a dog and they're smarter than people. Oh. He's already asleep.
I think we should rename the podcast Dogs Are Snorier Than People.
Just Sparty.
Okay.
Is he snorier than me?
No.
I mean, Gabby doesn't snore, does she?
No, not usually. She breathes slightly heavily sometimes.
Because I would love for him to be snorier than me. That'd be awesome.
No, man. You're the king of the snores.
Okay. But what?
Little kids and what makes them happy.
Well, you haven't chimed in yet. Too much.
No.
But you asked the question.
Right.
So answer? What made you happy when you were a little kid?
Oh, well, my feet. But when I was trying to tell you that before we pressed the record button, you got kind of cranky at me because you thought I was being a jerk. But I was, like, super in love with my feet when I was little. My feet made me happy. That is not Sparty snoring. That's Sean coughing. And also, what else did I love? I loved running around the living room. I loved piggyback rides. I loved Cheez-Its a lot when I was super little. I liked being outside and splashing and running in grass and just, like, really, like, you know, like studying stuff. You know what I mean? Like, that.
I know what you mean. I think I like to eat.
Not much has changed.
One of my very earliest memories, I think it was like 2 or 3 or something. But I thought we lived in this particular place when I was like 2. Somehow I got up before my mother. God, maybe I don't know. I think I was capable of turning on the television or something. So maybe I was more like 3. Watching cartoons. She had Oreos in the refrigerator. And I ate a ton of them. And I'm sure it was very obvious. And she asked me if I did. And I said no. And I got in so much trouble for lying. Not for eating the Oreos, but for lying. It was like my first trouble-y lesson that I remember.
Aww.
Don't get caught stealing the Oreos. Then you won't have to lie and get in trouble.
Maybe. Oh my gosh. I have this image of you with like Oreo cred all over your little kid face.
I would imagine.
Total so. Oreo breath.
I don't know. I'll have to ask about that. Seems kind of twisted in the age. Because I swear I remember thinking, how on earth did she know? Well, I'm sure it was so obvious blatantly. Like, you just said my face was really black around my lips and whatever.
You probably had it in your teeth.
Oh, God.
Ew.
If I had teeth, my two. It's so colorful, I have to suck on them.
Oh, that's just gross.
Get them all
that's
wet
gross.
And soggy.
All right.
Gum them to that.
You hate me.
No, but that sounds like a really good way to eat Oreo.
No, it's gross.
So if I'm super old and I don't have many teeth left,
uh-huh.
I want Oreos soaked in milk and a spoon for dessert.
So Oreo ice cream?
No, freak no.
Well, it's kind of Oreo ice cream.
No, it's not, because the milk's not frozen. And no matter how mushy the cracker gets, the white in the middle will always be firm, little al dente bite when you bite into it. So you take the glass, fill it up with Oreos, and just kind of crush them just a little bit, and then top it off with milk and let it set for like 5-10 minutes, and then eat it. Mmm. If I had Oreos, I'd have that for breakfast in the morning.
That sounds so gross to me.
Well.
But I'm so glad you like it.
Oh, I'm sorry. That sounds gross.
But you like it, and that's awesome.
Well, it's not like I ever eat it.
Well, maybe you should.
No.
Why not? It gives you joy.
It really doesn't sound all that healthy. I mean, no, I eat healthy.
Writing tip of the bog.
So we were thinking about how you can be happy even if you're a writer, because a lot of writers are not super happy. And I think that's because a lot of writers and artists spend a lot of time doubting and feeling unhappy just in general. Why? That's really the question. And part of it is because we're creative people, and creative people tend to feel really big feelings. We live in feelings and interpretations and expressions, and that can be hard on the heart.
Very hard. Also, it's hard to believe in yourself when the industry makes it so hard for you not to believe. Writing is hard on hearts. Rejections come fast. And a whole lot easier than getting an acceptance later, or like, I'd like to see some more stuff. And the whole field is so subjective. Outside validation can be very hard to come by.
I wish you all could see Sean's arms move while he talks. They're like these huge, huge, super big motions. Which is adorable. It's adorable, baby. All right.
We can do whatever it's called, a video podcast. I don't care. We're going to be YouTubers.
Another thing is that writers is that we just expect to be perfect. We are not perfect. We apologize when we are normal. We apologize for being human. We apologize for who we are, as if who we are is supposed to be somehow beyond human and perfect. We see our books, our art, our blogs, as these perfect, idealized, finished products. And that level of perfection is really hard to get in real life, as this podcast shows. So what do we do, Sean? We cough.
We tear ourselves down. For some of us, we're so used to other people tearing us down for being weird. Wait. For some of us, we're so used to other people tearing us down for being weird, daydreaming, quirky, or different that we try to do it before they do. That way it doesn't seem to hurt that much. That was supposed to have been a question. But it's not good for us to do that. Just be yourself and believe in yourself. Don't talk to try to talk like some intellectual like I just suck at it.
Really didn't work.
No.
Oh jeez. Alright, so how do we get happy? No, we're not done. Oh,
okay.
So we can talk about why we are unhappy, but the real key here is how do we get happy? And the first step is we create. We keep working and creating, and there is this power in persistence and not giving up. And there's this happiness in losing yourself to the process of your art.
Yeah. You know, that's so true. Not many people know that you like to paint as well as write.
Yeah.
But that's what that makes you happier than just about anything. You know?
Yeah, but it's
even your little hour-long painting break. Doesn't matter if it's good or bad. It's wonderful for you. But, back to work. Let forgiveness happen. You can call it grace if you prefer, but allow yourself to be human. Don't be so harsh on yourself when you fail or make a mistake. Embrace that failure because you make mistakes.
Like right there.
And because it allows you to know you are human, not God.
We are both so human. And finally, realize that even though you are really human and you mess up all the time, that you are still absolutely good enough. When people praise you, let them praise you. When people come to see you, embrace that. When they listen to you speak, when they read your work, when they buy your painting, when they tell you something awesome, let them. Don't ignore the good to hold on to the bad. So when people love you or praise you, they're basically giving you a gift. And it's not cool to turn that away. You don't want to be an arrogant butt face, but allow people to be kind to you if they're moved to do so. I have a hard time with that.
Me too.
Really?
Yeah. It's so hard. Unless somebody's really good at it. Like, one of our friends is really good at making you feel like you're special.
His name is Mike.
But a lot of people, including myself, aren't all that swift at it. And to be able to accept somebody's, whatever it is they're telling you, positive or negative, and make them feel like you're really listening to them and appreciative or not, if it's negative, is really a skilled thing. It's hard to do. So work on it. Practice makes perfect. Dog tip for life.
So our dog tip for life is really what Sean was just talking about before. Dogs accept the treats that life brings them. They gobble those treats down. They love, all the petting that you give them, all the belly rubs, all the compliments. They don't reject that. And we can learn from that, man. Right, Shawnee?
Yeah. Even if we're not big on, you know, my brain's not working. I can't think of what I want to say. Accepting compliments. We're not big on accepting compliments or people's offers of niceness, whatever that niceness may be. I'm horrible at it. But it really makes people feel good a lot of times if you can just accept it. And don't forget to pay it back.
Yeah.
And hey, Jackson, if you happen to hear this, I love you. Someday we're going to meet.
thank you, guys. Go love each other like your dogs, man. Not that way. Oh! So for the tips that go with this podcast, the actual written down intellectual tips, I'll go to carriejonesbooks.blog. And you'll find those there under the Dogs Are Smarter Than People podcast page.
What if I accidentally put in carriejonesbooks.com?
Then you kind of have to go to the tab on the left-hand side where it says Dogs Are Smarter Than People, too. It's It's all connected, man.
Carrie will also be at Book Expo America in New York City on June 1st from 11:30 to 12 at the Learner booth, signing copies of the same book, The Spy Who Played Baseball. A week before that, she will be in New York City presenting to the Jewish Book Council. She would love it if you came out and hung out with her.
And I'm also going to be on WERU Radio sometime soon. I'll update that when I know that. It's in May. Talking about books. Right. And we also have a really cool tongue-in-cheek like subgroup of postings on a blog about cooking vegetarian recipes as a writer. It's silly, but
they're good. And this is not really a vegetarian household.
Well, I was.
I am kind enough to partake in this experiment. And it's been really successful taste-wise. I mean, Carrie does her own magic with each dish. But she tells you all about it in the blog, so.
And we make it funny.
Really good.
Really funny.
You make it funny, babe. All I do is eat.
You're so good at that.
Fun and tasty.
Anyways, for more information about the podcast or the books, check out Carrie Jones' books.blog or Dogs Are Smarter Than People, the website. And you can find out all sorts of cool stuff there. But if you like us or you just feel badly for us, please subscribe and rate us high and share so other people can rejoice in the dorkiness that is us.
Us?
Us.
Party on, Garth.
Oh my gosh. I can't do that. Wait.
Why not?
Because I don't remember.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on. Oh, that's so loud.